WHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The Trump presidential campaign is facing blowback from the family of a service member whose tombstone was shown in a photo op of President Trump at Arlington National Cemetery, an event where Trump campaign staffers reportedly had a physical run-in with somebody on staff at the cemetery who was telling them they could not take pictures at that spot. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes has more.
Trump's running mate, Senator J.D. Vance, downplayed the incident.
The altercation at Arlington Cemetery is the media creating a story where I really don't think there is one.
And he tried to make it about Vice President Harris.
She wants to yell at Donald Trump because he showed up. She can go to hell.
Harris hasn't said anything about the controversy. She and her running mate, Governor Tim Walz, are on a two-day bus tour of Georgia, where polls show the race is suddenly neck and neck.
There is newly released video of then-House Speaker Nancy Pelosi responding to the January 6th attack on the Capitol, and CBS's Scott McFarlane has been going through it.
A whole bunch of things in this video, and one of which explains why it was released. Nancy Pelosi is heard in this video saying that Donald Trump is a domestic enemy in the White House. Pretty powerful. Heard talking about prompt impeachment or having the cabinet galvanized to invoke the 25th Amendment. And then she's blasting the Capitol security officials who unequivocally failed January 6th.
CBS News correspondent Carter Evans has the verdict in a Las Vegas murder trial.
Robert Tellis hung his head as he heard the verdict.
Guilty of first-degree murder with use of a deadly weapon.
Prosecutors laid out a mountain of evidence against him, including a motive for the murder of investigative reporter Jeff Gehrman.
Mr. Tellis had had enough of being exposed, written about, publicized, embarrassed.
Gehrman was found stabbed to death outside his home. He'd written multiple articles alleging Tellis fostered a hostile work environment.
Tellis has been sentenced to 20 years to life behind bars. At Chicago's O'Hare International Airport, United Airlines flight attendants who overwhelmingly voted to authorize a strike just before the Labor Day holiday weekend. They're demanding a double-digit pay increase, among other things. In Rowan County, North Carolina, the Sheriff's Department is investigating a series of small explosions in mailboxes and elsewhere.
China Grove Police Department went to that area and searched and did find a trash can that appeared to have had something that had been detonated in it as well.
That's Mark McDaniel, spokesman for the sheriff's office, who says residents should not touch anything suspicious in their mailboxes or garbage cans. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden is coming back to the Badger State. He'll be here next Thursday, although details haven't been announced yet. He'll focus on the economy and his administration's record working for middle-class Americans. This will be his first visit to Wisconsin since stepping down from the race and endorsing his vice president, Kamala Harris. And it's a long-term problem for Wisconsin public schools. Enrollment is dropping. It's been happening for years now. Education leaders are quick to point out that when enrollment drops, costs per student actually go up. Luther Olson is the statewide network liaison for the CESA Education Agency.
We fund on a per capita basis, but in reality, that cost goes up. So everybody says, well, you know, you have less kids, you don't need as much money. But unfortunately, that's not quite the case.
Work on the next state budget begins in the spring. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
A big inning leads to a big win in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. The Brewers used a five-run fifth inning to win 5-3 over the San Francisco Giants Wednesday night. William Contreras hit a two-run home run in the inning, while Freddy Peralta struck out 8 and 6 innings of work as Milwaukee climbed to 20 games over 500. The series finale is Thursday afternoon. The Green Bay Packers cut their roster down to 53 this week, including making some big decisions at kicker and running back. General Manager Brian Gutekunst said the roster's talent made it difficult to make cuts.
This is a really tough, 3-4 days for everybody involved. it's not easy to go through this process and then make these decisions. But more importantly, you got a lot of young men in there that have put a ton of work into this, and to kind of have to, you know, tell them you don't want to move on, but just by rules you have to. And so it's really tough.
The Packers open the season a week from tomorrow against the Eagles in Brazil. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some scattered clouds across the area in the overnight. Lows dropping back into the middle 50s. We'll have light east winds. A mix of clouds and sunshine Thursday. Highs in the upper 70s, close to 80 degrees. A southeast breeze. Thursday night, showers and storms with heavy rain. It's 60 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll talk about Jack Smith's new superseding indictment against Donald Trump, and Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area joins us. He's now with Civic.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. My name is Greg Bach, and I am your fearless leader today. I'm sitting in for Jane Mattenair, who is on vacation right now, and we wish her the best and the most relaxing time ever. If you want to get in touch with us, if you want to get talking to us, if you want to contribute to the conversation, you can call us and or text us 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can leave a comment on the live stream, which is going up right now. Folks, we have a wonderful, wonderful guest for you today. She is going to be here the entire show, the entire first hour this morning. You see her on the live stream if you are watching right now. She is the the hostess with the mostest, the most amazing, Granny Bingo herself, Esther Flones.
Greg.
Esther.
It's a pleasure.
It's great to
being here with you this morning.
I can tell you're overflowing with excitement.
Very. I'm loving wearing makeup this early.
You texted me this morning and said, great, dragon.
I sure did.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, I'm used to the morning news, being on the morning news early. So, but I don't think anyone should be wearing this much makeup except if you're someone on Good Morning America, for crying out loud.
Oh, there you go. Well, I am glad you put the makeup on today, and I am glad you joined us. We have been talking about this for a while. We wanted to get you on the show. We wanted to talk about all the fantastic things you do as Granny Bingo.
Yes.
That is your nickname, correct?
I would say that's just more of my brand.
Ah, got you. Because really, if anybody knows Esther Flones, they know you from one great thing, and that is your ubiquitous name throughout the state as far as doing drag bingo.
Absolutely.
You do shows all over the place.
All over the place. It started, embarrassingly, it started at Real Chili in Milwaukee. So
folks,
if anyone
living
in Milwaukee,
outside the southwest, southeastern Wisconsin area.
Real Chili.
Imagine George Webb's, but for chili.
Right. That food that you need after bar close. You've had a few. You need something heavy to absorb. All of that alcohol, this is the place for you.
And then you go the next morning, you're like, why did I do any of that last
night? You regret it. You instantly regret it.
So you started doing... So let's actually, before we get there, let's back up completely to the beginning. You told me that this all came from the fact that you went to school to UWM, right?
Right.
And you go Panthers. I'm a Panther as well.
Yeah, for sure.
I owe them no more money.
You went to UWM?
I did.
Did I know that? I don't think I knew that.
I keep all of my secrets.
Major?
Closest. Political science and law studies.
Of course it was.
Because yeah. Nice. I'm a nerd.
Of course.
But you went for theater, right?
I did.
So, and I know a lot of people who went to school for theater, and I feel like the unifying, whether it's joke or belief is, well, I have a theater degree, now
yeah.
what?
So it is very intimidating, I think, because it's a very hard industry to be in from the get-go. So, I mean, I don't think that's your first choice when you go to... Well, it's definitely not your parents' first choice for you, okay? Your parents want you to be a lawyer,
or a doctor,
surgeon, anything that would make them money so they can retire and live wealthy the rest of their lives because they're just taking their kids' money. No, but acting, I think, has always been... Well, theater and arts in general have always been in my blood. My family is very artistic.
Okay.
So I think it felt right being creative growing up. I was involved in choirs a lot and little theater productions in like Catholic grade school. Mm-hmm. Oh, Catholic grade school.
I was in those too.
Oh, St. Margaret Mary, word. But yeah, so I think it was just destined for me to do this. I just didn't know what I was going to do with the degree.
Yeah.
And for a long time, I just ended up working retail job after retail. I mean, that's basically what an actor's life is, isn't it? Working Whole Foods and then working at Aldi and then working at a warehouse. Like, I just thought this was going to be it.
Yeah.
And then I took a chance and I attempted to start a YouTube channel with this character. And I think people just caught on to what I was doing. And then I ended up at Lacage, and then next thing you know, I'm in a competition talent drag show, and then I win the drag show, and then, I mean, that's really how it started, honestly.
So for those who don't know, for those, you know, we're taking a deep dive into drag culture at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday.
Mm.
Come on, folks, take the journey. Mm,
the journey.
What is the development of a character? How do you look at that process from, like, you know, like, you see... Especially today. How long have you been doing it now?
Like 8 years.
So you started doing it probably before it like exploded. Like there was still Drag Race. Oh, that was still happening.
Yeah. Like Drag Race was still streaming on Logo. So it wasn't like directly on TV. So you had to go and find it.
Yeah.
Because I just remember as it started, it was hard for me to watch it because I didn't know where to watch it because it wasn't on mainstream TV. Whereas now it's like on VH1 and it's like on MTV and all that. So it's a lot easier to access. But starting back then, I think was way different than now, because now I think drag is on this higher platform.
Yes.
Whereas like when I was growing up, I felt the only place you could see drag was either if you went to the bar, if you went to Pride Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was really the only outlet I had to drag, basically.
Yeah.
You were talking about inspiration. I think it's different for me because when I was aspiring to be, you know, a comedian, actor, I was watching Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. I was heavily influenced on like Chris Farley and Adam, the greats, obviously. Adam Sandler, David Spade, Chris Farley, all of that. So I think
Rob
they're the
Schneider.
Ones. Oh, God. All of them. Yeah. Like, just Saturday Night Live was my pleasure, I guess. Would you say like watching it late at night on TV, being inspired by all those famous skits? I mean, that's really what got me into doing performance, I think. So that's really what set it off. But as far as like drag went, I guess I didn't want to do. Drag, like that wasn't the goal.
No.
Like the goal was to be a performer. So drag just became that outlet to do that.
It became part of your resume, if you will. It was like you could act, you could be funny, you could also do drag if you want. But now it seems like when people go to do it, this is what they want to do. This is their career they have
basically
chosen.
Yeah.
And I for better or for worse, when someone releases a comedy record or a special on Netflix or Amazon, then that probably inspires 50 people to go try stand up. And then, like, well, I'm going to do stand up now. Well, it's not as
easy as it seems.
Yeah. There's work to get to put in.
I definitely feel like that's a big thing with drag too. I think a lot of people are doing it not for like the same reasons as like the people who started earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't want to get anyone angry at me, but I just feel like a lot more people are trying drag because they're seeing it more now. So they're like, oh, well, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can dance around in a dress I bought online and lip sync to Diana Ross. Like, well, I shouldn't say Diana Ross because the kids are listening to other things. They probably don't even know what a Diana Ross is.
Spoken like a true grandma.
Right.
I mean, that's, I think that goes to, for really any art form though. I think any art form will spawn the people who, you know, you've got your, I'm just going to use this.
Yeah.
The RuPaul's. The RuPaul is the most famous drag star probably in the world.
Yeah.
And that has inspired a level that is now famous.
Oh yeah.
And then that level inspires below them, and then so on and so forth.
But,
I have to imagine, and just like in comedy or in music, you learn pretty quickly that unless it's a fantastic opportunity that's out of nowhere, it's not like you put the makeup on and then next week you have a show or you have a sold out event at a venue. It's
right.
You're starting. It's like comedy in the sense, like, you start as a host or a guest set, and you
or work. like a guest appear. Like, so, like I said, I started when I at like Real Chili, and then I did This Is It with another local drag star, Chanel Devine. Chanel, hi. We started doing it at This Is It together.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like my gateway into doing bingo. So I definitely started as like someone's co-host.
Yeah.
Did that for a while, and then I had to build myself up and make myself known and present. Mm-hmm. And I think that's honestly the reason why I'm so around today, is because I had to start from the very bottom and build my way up. Like, yeah. I wouldn't take back any of the 8 years that I started.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm at a really great place now. I think it's just, you have to put in the work if you want to see the success.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt that, like, that you have to want it. You have to be hungry for it. You have to sacrifice for it.
And that's not everybody. You can see it's not in everybody. Like, there are people that have the flame under their butt that want to do it. And then you have the people that are just doing it because they want to joke around and have fun for one night and get free drinks, when that's really not the the premise of the whole thing.
Yeah. We're going to talk more about the taking the character and the, you know, the culture into the bingo world. And then after that, we're going to talk about some other things that you wanted to discuss with regard to with politics and perception and whatnot.
Just a little taste.
But we absolutely invite you to, join the conversation, to call us, to text us, 855-752-4842. That is 855-75-CIVIC. You can also download the free Civic Media app at your favorite app store of choice, and then you can text or call the show through the app itself. And then also, and if you just want to email us, it's janesays@civicmedia.us. Once again, janesays@civicmedia.us. If you have any questions, we hopefully will have Dr. Hanks on. She's in surgery right now, so hopefully she'll be on the show at 11:30. So any questions for public service announcement, send those via email or text, and we'd love to hear from you. More to come with Esther Flonase. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels. It's where I belong.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'll be sitting in for Jane for the rest of this week, as well as next week, as she is on vacation. You can always call or text the show, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Feel free to leave a comment on the live stream. We got Andrew in Maine making a very good point as to my discussion earlier, which is, I said it's very early. It's 10 a.m. on Wednesday, and we're talking about drag. He said, is there a better time to take a deep dive into drag than when you're awake? I agree. And then Tony says it's free. I don't know what's free, Tony. Is it all free? Is the world free? Are we free? We'll find out. But let's keep the conversation going with our good friend, Esther Cornes. I forgot to tell you this. It's Jennifer Coolidge's birthday today.
Nuh-uh.
It is. And for those who don't know, Esther does a fantastic
God.
Jennifer.
Oh, God. You look like the 4th of July.
There it is.
Makes me want a hot dog real bad.
Happy birthday.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's funny.
I heard that today and I was like, oh, I've got
it. Oh, my gosh. Well, that's, I mean, happy birthday, Jennifer Coolidge.
So the question I have for you is, you know, when we think of drag, we, at least in the 5-10 years ago, we think drag race, we think big performance, right. We think dancing, lip syncing, the whole thing. But you, as well as others, have taken the culture into something I would say very relatable, at least on a Midwestern level, which is bingo.
Yeah.
And you host drag bingo events all over the state.
All over.
You are always working. This is a full-time job for you.
It is.
Yeah.
Yep. It has become, I mean, like I said, never would ever think that I'd be doing something that I am loving to do, like what I'm passionate about doing as a full-time job.
Yeah.
I literally thought I was going to be pouring toxic chemicals into plastic bottles and shipping them to school, like gym floor finish and things like that. I literally thought I was going to be doing that for the rest of my life. And then as this started picking up, I just took it. I took a chance.
Yeah.
Like, that's really what it's about. You take a chance, you do something you're passionate about, and you hope that it's going to work out. And I've been very fortunate to build my own business with this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been a dream.
That's, I love this. I love this story. So take us to when it first started.
Oh,
you talked about Real Chili. You talked about This Is It, which for those who don't know, This Is It is, I believe it's Wisconsin, if not Milwaukee's oldest gay bar.
Yes,
and
Midwest.
It has a beautiful history to it of, you know.
And a dark one.
Yes, it's a beautiful history. In
I don't
a time
want to say
of,
his as, name on the air, but he rhymes with Heffrey Hammer.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it does have a deep history within the culture of how it existed.
Yes.
So, but tell us how you got into bringing this to bingo.
Oh, boy. So, I mean, I'm just going to start by saying that I first did drag when I was in preschool, if we're really going to go there, because I recall wearing a veil over my head and wearing high-heeled shoes and going out to my cubby. And I went to a preschool where there were, it was a senior citizen home and a preschool. So I just remember senior citizens walking back and forth, and one stopped and said, I guess I'm going to talk like Jennifer Coolidge. Oh, look at that beautiful little girl. Oh, and her nurse was like, that's a boy. So that's where the first experience of mine came from.
Yeah.
So if you really wanted to know that, okay. That was back in like 1806.
Oh yeah. Right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh yes.
But then, first drag as an adult was, doing drag and went to the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a Milwaukee staple.
A rite of passage.
At the Landmark, or at, not Landmark, that's next door.
The Oriental.
The Oriental.
Yeah.
I mean, I would go to Landmark after.
Of course.
So like I said, I was trying to do a YouTube channel with this persona because I was creating a character to play more so than anything. It was just playing this older, well, I started off as an old New York Jewish woman. And then I came up with the story that I was born Sicilian. So then when my Jewish husband passed away, see, I'm going through my whole character background with you. I just tried to do a character on YouTube first. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Lacage, did that drag show where it was just lip syncing, mm-hmm. won that. And I think that's what got me the exposure in the Milwaukee LGBT community to start. And then I did bingo at This Is It with my co-host. And then her and I did it for a while. And I think as we built that, I just decided to start taking it more on my own because this was an older woman character. And I just think you put bingo and older woman together.
It works.
And I took that and that's what I went with. And I started, I think the big thing was when I emailed Lakefront Brewery for the first time. I just did a out of nowhere email.
Yeah.
And I emailed, I didn't even know who I was emailing. I wasn't talking to Dylan or Mike. I just threw an email out there saying, hey, I do this bingo thing. Would you guys be interested in hosting a bingo night at Lakefront Brewery? And then I get this email back saying that they're interested. And then here we are.
How many years later?
Seven. I have to say it's been 7 years.
Oh my gosh. So that is how Esther and
I met. I'm pretty sure.
Was at Lakefront Brewery through Drag Bingo. I am her co-host when we do the shows. The next one's on September the 10th. I will be the co-host. I'm the one who helps like read the cards and pass out prizes. And we have banter between each of us. And it's really
great.
It's really a lot of fun. Come on down. But that experience is so fun. And it's just a good time. And but that is one of many shows you do now. Like,
But I'm saying like Lakefront was definitely the one I think that took it to the top. And that's what got me the most exposure. Like now I'm doing bingos in places that I never, and I'm emphasis on the never would ever think of doing bingo, like in Oconomowoc and in Horicon, like and all of those northern places that you just would not think. But when I do something like this, I'm telling people that this is just for fun.
Yeah.
It's fun and entertainment. There's nothing to it. I call balls, you win prizes, you win money. Like that's really all I'm doing is bringing entertainment and light and happiness to people. That's my goal. That's always been my goal.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happens. I watch these shows happen and people are having a blast. They're having a really good time. And you went to Horicon. Shout out to Sherry, one of our listeners in Horicon. She listens to the show.
Hey.
Yeah. And so if you ever go back up there, she can definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely see you.
That's perform. Fun.
And I think, and we're going to talk about this on the other side of the break, is one of the reasons why you might not feel super duper comfortable going to certain places in this state is because of what's been going on of the past year and a half. So we're going to talk more about that when we come back. It's going to take a little bit of time, but we're going to make something positive out of it.
Yeah.
We want to have a good discussion.
No, we want something positive.
With someone who is in the culture and in the field of what the topic is based upon. We are talking to Esther Flonase, who's our guest co-host this morning from 10 to 11. And you can always call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. Get in touch. Be a part of the conversation. Right now, you are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away. Stay close.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief. Newly released video of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi during the January 6 insurrection shows her anger toward former President Donald Trump, as CBS's Scott McFarland tells us.
The nation's highest court, in an unsigned order, has rejected a request from the administration to put most of it back into effect. It was blocked by the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals.
A Nevada jury has found politician Robert Tellis guilty of murdering reporter Jeff Gehrman.
He had a stellar reputation in this community. He was a zealot. He was an excellent investigative reporter.
That's Clark County DA Steve Wolfson. The sheriff's office in Rowan County, North Carolina, is investigating small explosions in mailboxes and garbage cans. Spokesman Mark McDaniel.
The resident came out, I think, to check the mail as he was walking away. The explosion went off. At that point in time, he called 911 and got deputies out here.
CBS News Brief, I'm Michael Toscano.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The U.S. Supreme Court has refused to revive President Joe Biden's latest student debt relief program. Under the plan, borrowers could pay back 5% of their income instead of 10. Lawsuits were filed after the plan was announced. The Supreme Court says some of those suits must be resolved in lower courts. And 15% of students in Wisconsin public schools get special education services, but school districts only get funding for 30% of expenses for their kids with disabilities. Teachers and administrators have long called this unfair. Deputy State School Superintendent Thomas McCarthy.
Reimbursing schools 30 cents on the dollar for an operation they're required to do is impactful in more ways than just serving kids with disabilities. In most districts, what they're doing is they're taking money out of their general budget and they're plowing it into special education budgets.
Work on the next state budget begins in the spring. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Sometimes the network can't afford not to bring a show back, such is the case with Ted Lasso on Apple TV. That's right, Lasso fans. The show that helped us all get through COVID might be coming back for another season. Series co-creator Bill Lawrence said in a recent interview that several of the cast members have agreed to return, but there is no word yet on whether or not Jason Sudeikis will come back as the title character. Sudeikis is one of the show's creators as well. Deadline.com reports that they believe Sudeikis is already in, which would only leave one non-committal cast member, Juno Temple. Stay tuned. Disgraced actor Armie Hammer says he is selling his truck because he can no longer afford the gas. Hammer says he loves the truck he treated himself to in 2017 intensely. In an awkward Instagram video Hammer posted, it was hard to decipher if he was talking to his truck or the audience at times as he described his love for his vehicle. He added that his kids will miss the truck, but they are adaptable. I wonder if they've heard the cannibalism accusations. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some scattered clouds across the area in the overnight. Lows dropping back into the middle 50s. We'll have light east winds. A mix of clouds and sunshine Thursday. Highs in the upper 70s, close to 80 degrees. A southeast breeze. Thursday night, showers and storms with heavy rain. Currently 62 degrees.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Fancy Brian Kelly is my guest co-host for the first hour, and then we're joined by Paul Noonan talking sports, weather, and wine with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation right now. We wish her nothing but the most relaxing of vacations. And we want to welcome you back to the show. If you want to get in touch with us, you can give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream, which we are on Facebook, as well as YouTube and Twitter, because this house still calls it Twitter. And you can also get in touch with us calling and texting by downloading the Civic Media app. It's very simple. Go to your app store of choice, download it. It is a free, and you can use that to get in touch with us via calling or texting. So do that. Either way, just get in touch with us. We want to hear from you. And I'm sure that our guest wants to hear from you too. And our guest is the incomparable Esther Flonase, a.k.a. Granny Bingo. And we've been talking for the first few segments about your history, a little bit about drag culture and how you got drag culture into the bingo world.
And Jennifer Coolidge.
And Jennifer Coolidge. Happy birthday, Miss Coolidge.
Oh, God.
Calvin, you did have a question, though, for Esther. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, so the last segment I played.
I can't hear him. Oh, is it?
Yeah, so you got to put your headphones on here.
Oh, boy. Calvin.
Hold on one second.
That'll do it, Esther.
Put it on so I can hear you.
There you
go. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so the last segment I played Chapel Roan. She is a big pop star right now. Her character identifies as a drag queen, but she is a woman. So this is from an ignorance standpoint, but a curiosity. What do you need to be a drag queen? Who can be a drag queen? What constitutes
that's such a great question. A good question. Okay, well, it started. So I guess when we all learned about, so when everyone learns about drag, it obviously stems back to man dressing as a woman for entertainment purposes.
Correct.
Very different than. Would say it like a transvestite or anything like that. It's very different because this is performance value. Like this is all about performance, stemming back to like William Shakespeare, you know, him writing plays, men playing women in his plays. That's where it all really began.
Kabuki theater.
Right. Yeah. Kabuki, all of that. So that's where it basically stemmed from. So I think as time has gone on, the idea of drag has just become more of like the hyper feminization aspect of it. So technically anybody can do drag because it is the art of, like I said, hyper feminization, wearing big lashes, wearing dramatic makeup. That is essentially what drag has become. Like like we're talking about RuPaul. Like RuPaul, if you look at RuPaul, RuPaul is a statuesque, gorgeous human being. Like in drag, he looks like he looks better than what's her name from America's Next Top
Tyra Banks.
Yeah, Tyra Banks. So that's, I think, who RuPaul is. But like nowadays, I think in that instance that you were talking about, she's going with the idea that drag is hyper feminization, theatrical, you know, big costumes, big hair, you know, eyelashes, all of that. So I would just say when she identifies as a drag queen, it's more of like it's the performance aspect of it. Like she goes very dramatic with her performances and wants to wear big hair and, you know, dramatic makeup and stuff like that. But like early on, I mean, drag was just looked at solely as man dressing as woman. Mm-hmm. But I think it's definitely expanded as time has gone on.
It's evolved for what it's become.
Yeah.
You know, that makes sense. That's a great question.
A really great question.
And the thing too is, and I know very little about, I know the culture, and as much as I know you, I've gone to drag shows. I enjoy them. I'm not so much into the reality show aspect, but I know there's been controversy over, you know, can women do drag? Can transgender people do drag?
Yeah.
And trying to hold it to this notion of men do drag and men only do drag.
Right.
And I feel like that's starting to break down because like it's all just fun,
right?
It's all about what you're talking about, this look, this style, and this feeling,
aesthetic. It's an aesthetic.
Yeah, it's what you go on stage with rather than what you have when you take the makeup off.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very important distinction to make, and I think it's important for people who've been doing it for 10 years and longer to make that understanding that, like, You can't gatekeep those sort of things. If a young girl wants to do drag, then let her do drag or drag king stuff.
Well, and are there performers that try to? Yes, there are older drag queens out there that think it should be one thing and one thing only.
Yeah.
But I think as a community, we as a whole are embracing new upcoming talent, even if it is like on Drag Race this recent time, there was a straight man.
Yeah.
On Drag Race. Straight men can do drag. Mm-hmm. There are tons of straight men who do drag. Like, and you were saying transgender women and men, they can do drag too. It's just, it's become an art style as time has progressed. Yeah. So I think anyone nowadays, I personally believe that anyone nowadays can do it if they so choose, because it is literally the performance aspect of it.
Now let's talk about, you know, I mentioned it earlier. You said that might not feel the safest in certain parts of the state. And I understand why, of course. I understand your trepidations. And it's because simply, well, let's just say it, the right has weaponized your art form, your culture, into some sort of ethereal threat to children.
Right.
And so you've been doing it for about 8 years now.
Yeah.
When did you start to see the shift from the people who would clutch pearls and be like, I don't really like that, to you are endangering our children? Those sorts of baseless claims that are absolutely
heinous,
not the case. Heinous, hateful, disgusting, so on and so forth. When did you start to see that shift, and how did that like affect you as both a person as well as a performer with, let's on a business level, a brand to uphold?
Okay, so I don't think there was ever really a progression into that. It was very abrupt.
Yes. Okay.
Because I recall days, I think pre-COVID, where it was, you know, women wanted to go out and go to Hamburger Mary's and see shows, and it was just a fun thing for people to do, you know, go to drag bars, go to gay bars and see drag. Like, it was just a fun, maybe even taboo thing to do. Like, people would be like, oh, this is scandalous, whatever. But then there was just this abrupt change where people were given the idea and given the voice to be outspoken about what it is and how it is being detrimental to our society, when it's like, what has changed here? Like, where are you getting this idea from all of a sudden?
Yeah. And
I mean, it's a personal question that I still ask.
In
general,
my immediate thought is personally, is that they're threatened by the quote unquote other, living a life of comfort and happiness, being who they are and comfortable in their own skin, and being threatened by that. So they create a problem, and there is no greater, I guess you'd say, bargaining chip in that sort of creation than children. And and by them saying, oh, it's for the children, it's about the children. But they also feel like, well, because I said the children, that's it, game over. I win, because the children are the most important thing.
Vulnerable.
But then when we dig deeper into that conversation, of course, we're saying, well, if you care so much about children, why don't you take care of school lunch programs? Why don't you care about education? Why don't you care about funding teachers?
There's way more important things.
Well, it's the thing is, like, you care about children, but you don't care about children's safety in schools. You don't care about children and developing and learning correctly. But this one innocuous thing, this drag queen threat.
Reading literally Where the Wild Things Are to kids is the most insulting thing. It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I once heard someone compare a drag queen reading to a child as child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is the most heinous, ugly thing that anybody could say. I don't know where in any part of your brain that tells you that this is equivalent to that. I'm shocked that people say things like that.
Well, and so I want to play a clip in a moment here, but I want to preface it by saying what Esther does at Drag Bingo, at least when I'm there at Lakefront, what we do together for the show It is an adult theme show.
Correct.
It would be, I would say it's R-rated. I would say you could probably bring your older teenager to it.
We make that known.
Yeah. We tell them that
there's a poster outside, and Greg tells people every time before we start, at least 40 minutes before we start, Greg will make the announcement that this is not for kids, mm-hmm. and that is up to the parents' discretion if they want to stay or if they want to leave.
Yeah, and that is different than a drag reading, a drag story hour, of course, because you're reading to children.
Right.
But, Calvin, I want to play this clip from Fox News when they just became befuddled by a drag story time hour.
Yeah. I'm not only concerned about the double standard, but we're talking about kids that are ages. This event was ages 3 to 9 years old, and they're talking about these drag queens. It's just so much, Jackie. And parents, why can't they control and be the primary drivers of what their kids get to experience?
A lot of parents want to be, and they're not comfortable with it. And when you have a conversation about these events, you have to take into account what happened in Florida, for example. It was branded as Don't Say Gay by, the bill by Ron DeSantis there. It really wasn't about that. It wasn't about gay or lesbian or anything else. It was just about the fact that parents should have some input on the curriculum and what their children are learning in school.
Now, there's two things about that. First of all, I want to just applaud Jason Chaffetz, former, I believe, Utah congressman, now Fox News, quote unquote, analyst, being so befuddled and I just don't know what to do. And then them talking about the fact that, it should be up to the parents. It is up to the parents.
It is.
That's why we make the announcement. We tell you ahead of time, this is like we would like for a comedy show that wasn't even a comedy show in general is not a place you bring a child to.
Right.
And we make that known. This is an 18 and older show.
Right.
Please use discretion. We have certain safeguards as far as we will only let people of a certain age in, but it is on you. If you don't want your kid going to drag bingo, you absolutely don't have to take them there. If you don't want your kid to go to a drag story hour, you don't have to take them. You are completely within your power. But then that's what I want to talk about, though, is then they want to shift the conversation from a drag story hour to, well, we need to know what these kids are learning in school then. And then they move that conversation to CRT. So I feel like they're using what you do as a jumping off point to get to this agenda of driving their message, which someone, Joshua listening in WXCO right now said, the Republicans don't want the people educated. If they are, they might know their rights and not vote for them. So it's about controlling the issue and controlling the message. And that's what they're doing with this, but it's harming you.
Yeah. It's putting a bad, just a really dark rain cloud over what I'm trying to do. And what I tell people that I am trying to do is entertain. Do I know when to turn it off? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I do a lot of things in front of kids. And me personally, I know when I should put that filter on and when I can say more risque things in front of adults. Like, I know what my limits are. And I will look at the audience prior to me performing, and I will make sure that what I do is responsible. So for someone telling me that they don't think I'm responsible when they don't know who I am and don't have that good of judgment to be like, okay, well, I shouldn't swear because I'm in front of kids. Like, I know when not to do that. So I think I would hope that people would just trust me as an adult to know when and not to do that. Now, that might be different other places. Like, I think, like what we were saying is that I think a parent should have the responsibility to see something and be like, okay, well, maybe this isn't something I should bring my kids to.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about it further when we come back to the other side of the break. If you want to become part of the conversation, you can certainly do that by calling 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us, call us, same number. You can leave a comment on the live stream. Either way, get in touch with us, be a part of the talk. And we'd love to have you come back at the other side of the break. Go get some water. Stay hydrated. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former Member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTime'sIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is on vacation, hopefully having a good time and relaxing. We are talking to Esther Flones, a.k.a. Granny Bingo, the hostess with the mostest, my friend, here talking about drag culture, bingo, the whole thing. We're taking your calls, taking your questions. Did get a text from Jack from Merrimack. Love listening to Jack. Thank you so much for reaching out. He says, I was lucky enough to work for over 40 years in a profession I loved. Mine happened to be teaching. It seems like Esther has found something they love, and I can only wish Esther as a long run as I had. Thank you, Jack. Jack's a sweet, very, very sweet man, Jack is. And David on the live stream said that to say drag is only for adults is to ignore cherished performers like Robin Williams, who was not only sometimes kid-friendly, sometimes adult-friendly, and sometimes drag. So, I mean, that comment speaks directly to what you were saying is drag has been a part of our life in one way or another for hundreds of years. It's just evolved.
In all way, part, shapes, and forms.
And it's just happened to, I feel like it's happened, had a hyper evolution in the day of social media when there's so much access to putting yourself on a screen.
Right.
And the height, as you said, the hyper feminization of the characters. Mm-hmm. Of course, they're going to target what you do.
Yeah.
And call it a threat, which I'm sorry. It's just not.
And it's not.
The lack of callers telling me that you are tells me that I feel like a lot of our listeners,
a lot of people know that.
Yeah. And I think it almost feels like an issue where you kind of just go, what?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, why are
like, really? This is, see, now David's comment speaks to me because when I try to explain this very point to people, I bring up Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Williams has been a part of majority of our lives.
Yeah.
And he has done characters in drag.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably introduced a lot of people to drag. So now my question is, what is he doing that is different from what a performer is doing? A performer is performing just as Robin Williams was performing in a film. So I'm trying to understand why people can't see it that way, where for most of us, it is a performance art where we are playing a pretend character for entertainment value. This, I think we were going to get into this. This isn't who I am on the streets. Like, yeah. This isn't who I am when I go home. When I go home, baby, this wig comes off my head. There's a makeup wipe to my face. I pry these nails off of my natural nails every night, and I sit on my couch and I watch true crime videos on YouTube. That is what I do when I am not in this.
Wait.
This is literally what I do for 3 hours a day and entertain people, get my entertainment in there, and then I go home and it's...
relaxation.
Relaxation.
I mean, and I think that the simple answer would be those who agree with what you're saying are going to say... yeah, it isn't different than Robin Williams. Yeah, it isn't a threat to children. Yeah, it's a good time. And yes, parents should absolutely have the right to take their children to an event, even if they're warned it's adult themed, or not do it if they don't like it.
Yeah.
But the people who are, I don't want to say against, the people who start this
rhetoric,
rhetoric, there's nothing you can say. There's nothing that can be shown to them. They're going to say, what about Robin Williams? Well, that was a movie.
Oh,
well,
perfect example. I was on social media and I was getting into this argument about State Fair with this woman.
Because you do shows at
State Fair. I did. Yeah. That was a major accomplishment is State Fair. And now that opened me up to a lot of different people. Like that exposed me to probably a few wrong people and some of the right people. But I was getting into this argument with this woman who literally just upfront said, well, this is perverted. And I said to her, what about this is perverted? And she did her whole little spiel. And then I brought up, I said, okay, well, now let's talk about Robin Williams. What is Robin Williams doing that is okay for him to put this on, but it's not okay for me to do it? And she said something like, well, that's just pretend. That's just whatever. That's acting. That's just pretending. And I said to her, okay, so what do you think that I'm doing that's not that? And she just was like, yeah. I still think you're perverted.
Then that's all they can go back to. And that's the unfortunate
thing. They're not going to listen. They're not going to take my side. They're not going to hear me out. They're just going to keep believing what they want to believe and just think, well, I don't think it's like that. I think it's horrible for kids. I think it's horrible for society. Like, it's just, if you're not willing to learn, then don't ask.
Yeah. You don't want to be confronted with the truth. So therefore, why get in someone's face about it?
Right.
Have your opinion. It's poisonous and wrong, but
right. Or you literally, your goal in life is just to put people down and to say something opposite of someone else. Like, that's just what you thrive on.
Yeah. Well, in the last few minutes we have left, Esther, how do people get a hold of you, follow you, where you're on social media?
Okay. So I'm very popular on Instagram. I check it a lot. You can follow me on Instagram.
Okay.
Esterflonaze, Esther Flonaze is all one word.
Okay.
I do recommend that people follow me on Facebook, and I also have a Granny Bingo with Esther Flonaze Facebook. Mm-hmm. If you join that, that is where my schedule is. I post my schedule every month where I am. So if you really are looking for where I am in the state, anywhere in the state, you can definitely, that is the main resource that you can go to. So Facebook and Instagram are my two of my main socials.
Excellent. Well, if you are in the southeastern Wisconsin area on the 10th of September next month, that's a Tuesday, you can check out Esther Flonaze, aka Granny Bingo, as well as me.
Oh, great.
I will be helping out at Lakefront Brewery when we're
maybe
doing...
Greg will be dressed as a grandmother. Who knows?
You've been talking about that for a while. We'll see what happens on that one. But for now, I want to thank you, Esther, for coming by.
Greg, it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Great talking to you, too. I'm glad you shared some time with us today. We got more news coming your way. We're going to be talking about, guess who's in the news again, Calvin?
I shudder to guess.
Yes, that's right. You guessed it. Donald Trump. He made you shudder.
Who? I've never heard of him.
Exactly. So, and then, and we hopefully will have Dr. Laura Hanks with us for public service announcements. She is in surgery right now, so... hopefully she'll be ready to go, but stay close with us. We're going to be talking about the news in the next hour. Esther Flonaze, thank you so much for being a part of the show. And thank you so much for listening, everybody. We're going to keep it going in the next hour. Stay close. You can get a hold of us, 855-752-4842. Text us, call us, Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogge, and director Sean Hannish joins the show to talk about his documentary, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.